Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, welcome. This is Live with Larry and Blog Talk Radio. And soon we'll be getting our co-host on board, Sam Lipman. And of course, we're getting our very own White Rapper. Right now, I'm looking to see. By the way, anybody that wants to call in, we're also going to have some surprise guests. And at that point in time, we're not going to be taking any other call-ins when we get our, you know, when we have those guests. But we're going to have some very special surprise guests tonight that are in store for you. Let's just take a look and see what's going on. By the way, anybody that wants to call in until those guests arrive, the phone number here is 347-637-1843. Now, let me just take a look here and see what's going on. So far, no one's called in yet. I'm also waiting on White Rapper and, of course, Sam Lipman. Let me see here. All right. That looks good. You know, as you probably remember from other shows and other shows that I've done alone, so to speak, I always talk about empowering yourself and how there is really no such thing as a handicap or as a disability, but rather a challenge. We all have bumps in the roads. We all have things that go on in our lives that we just have a hard time understanding, or that just seem to stand in the way of our success. But these are nothing more than challenges. If a blind man can literally lead his team, or blind teenage boy, I should say, can become captain and lead his team to wrestling championships, not to mention becoming a musician. If a woman born with no legs and never had a prosthetic device in her life can become a world-renowned gymnast, and there are countless other people that have had so many different setbacks, it is absolutely amazing. Why can't we do it? Why can't we find something, just, you know, overcome whatever obstacles we have and go for the success that we deserve? Once again, the phone number here to call in is 347-637-1843. 347-637-1843. Here. Outros, intros. Alright, well, White Rapper, when you come on board, do so. In fact, why don't I just give a call, give a shout out to the White Rapper and see what's going on with him. Seem to be do. Okay, put the chat box up. Of course, like I say, this is a little bit of a different type of show. You know, what amazes me, quite frankly, is how many people out there give up way too soon. One of the things I listen to in the mornings is a Darren Daily blog, where Darren Hardy, I'm sure I've told you about him. He was talking today about Magic, about two basketball legends, and how sometimes we need a rival to challenge us, to make us better, put us on top of our game. And the two basketball legends that he talked about was Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. They have competed against each other for, you know, throughout the 80s. In fact, even when they were playing for two different colleges, Larry Bird's team beat Magic Johnson's in a championship. And then when they went to the NCAA, Magic beat Larry beat Magic again. And then but they've been competing back and forth. Magic would beat Larry Bird. Larry Bird would beat Magic Johnson. And Magic Johnson, one of the first things he did was he looked at the stats of Larry Bird, because he was the main rival, the main competitor. And sometimes you need that. But the thing was that when Magic Johnson retired from basketball because of his HIV, Larry Bird, for the first time, lost his edge and almost didn't even want to be in basketball anymore. And that's a shame. He got over it. They were rivals, but they became really good friends. And you know, that's really the key. That's really the key to it all, because competition is not necessarily a dirty word. To compete against, you need to have something or someone to compete against. Some say you should only compete against the person you were yesterday. Well, it's not true. You always want to be better than you were the day before. That's a monumental feat itself sometimes. But at the same time, you want to be just as good. But even if you just go like 1% a day better than you were the day before, and then 1% better than that, 1% better than that. In a year, it's not 365%, because you're compounding it on top of one another, on top of the first, on top of the first. It's like compound interest. If you're making even 5% interest on your money, which no bank is paying that much these days, But if you do it if it's compound interest, the results can be astronomical, because it's interest on not only the principal but also on the interest as well. Say what? All right, let's take a look and see what's going on. You know, we're having a little bit of a technical glitch right now. All right. All right. Obviously, somebody's having a bit of a technical glitch. I'm going to do something a little different. We're going to have a little bit of a silence right now. No idea what happened, but hopefully we're back in business. See what's going on.
Guys, tell me.
what empowering things happened to you for you guys this week?
Sam?
Well, this week, let's see, what happened this week? This week, I was out in Chicago working on this Live from the Streets project with my good friend, Mr. Green, the producer.
Yes.
And DJ, and genius friend, Ninja. So no, we're out in Chicago, and we're just filming a bunch, and it was super fun, and it was we worked these crazy long days, so we had like 2 days to just film as much as possible in Chicago, and then turn it into like a documentary, like a travel show documentary. So we went to some we went all over the Chicago. We went to some really I guess Chicago is actually known for some pretty serious neighborhoods. You know, like apparently there was I don't know, one of our friends texted us that like 100 people got murdered in a week. Like, there's some pretty dangerous neighborhoods out there. We actually
Chicago,
went and checked out.
Chicago can be pretty dangerous, yeah.
Yeah, and we actually went and checked out one of those neighborhoods because the rapper that we were featuring on the episode is from the South Suburbs, which is one of those areas that's pretty, you know, pretty notorious for, you know, being kind of on the dangerous side. But we went out there and we recorded music and everyone was super nice and friendly and everyone was great. You know, the people were super welcoming that we filmed with, and everything was awesome. So I think what I learned this week was, and I've always known this, but it's like, I don't know, you have to give any place a chance. And, you know, just because every neighborhood has its own issues, all neighborhoods do. And, you know, just because you hear things about a place like Chicago or other places doesn't mean that you're not going to come there and it's going to be, like, welcoming and everyone's going to be super nice. And you might, maybe the friendliest people live in a neighborhood that you were told not to check out. You know, and that's happened to me numerous times. I mean, people told us not to go to Bogota, Colombia, and we were... And some of the most friendly people ever were out there. And I was in Costa Rica, and people were telling us, don't go to the Caribbean side. And we went there. An amazing experience. So it's like, you know, you just got to kind of like,
You never know what you can find until you do it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Good in all people, you just got to look for it.
Yeah.
Yes, there is.
How about you, Sean?
Yeah, the White Rapper.
My week was very eventful. The White Rapper went for knee surgery, which was kind of excruciating and pain. But to look on the brighter side, I'll be walking normal again. So thank God for that.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Count your blessings, White Rapper. That's once you lose your health, you lost everything.
That's right, and that's why I constantly look forward to the days of, you know, getting back to work and walking again, and sometimes I feel the pain, but I just think of those who can't walk in.
Oh. Where are you, White Rabbit?
I'm in the kitchen. I don't know what that sound is.
What do you guys hear?
I thought you were in the jungle someplace.
No,
you hear birds?
It's not coming from me.
Yeah, that's actually my house.
Oh, well, that's your house.
Yeah, that's my house.
Well, you have a lot of birds in your house?
We, right, our neighbors keep doves. Mm-hmm. And chickens. And so, but I'm gonna go in an area where there's less animal noise.
Where there's less birds.
Yeah.
Just don't flip any birds.
Well, I'm flipping the birds right now. It's good to flip the bird once in a while.
Yeah, well, that can be taken many ways.
In between choking the chicken.
Oh, yeah. Or sex robots.
Yes. No need for sex robots.
No need for sex robots. Absolutely.
So I believe one of my buddies is going to call in today. He's a veteran pizza chef.
you were mentioning that you sent me a text about that. A pizza chef. That should be interesting. It's a shame we don't have video. That would be awesome to have a cooking segment.
Yeah, at some point.
All right, 848, you're on Live with Larry. Is somebody there?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, who is this?
This is, my name is Slava, a.k.a. Young Diamond.
Young Diamond.
Okay.
What up, Young Diamond?
Yo, what's going on, guys?
Welcome.
How's it going?
Welcome to the Live with Larry show. What's going on,
Thank
Young Diamond?
Thank you. I'm good. How about you guys?
We're doing great. Awesome. What brings you to the show?
I make pizza.
Well, you're the pizza guy.
This guy makes some of the best pizza in the world. He's a veteran pizza chef, an old friend, and I thought that that some of his experiences might be, you know, nice to hear about, and he could also tell us how to make some pizza.
I think that's great. I just had a little bagel pizza early, you know, before the show started. It's all right, but it's not like the stuff you get at those really good pizzerias. So, do you own a pizza shop, or are you just a chef, or what's your claim to fame?
No pizza shop just yet. Hopefully, in the near future. I've been with Domino's Pizza for give or take 10 years, and I worked in mom and pop's pizza shops, and I managed one when I was 18, and I had quite a lot of fun working in a pizza industry. I'm pretty young. I'm 32 years old. I just turned 32 August 6th.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, guys. I want to say, you know, it's fun dealing with customers, but I think it's a little bit more fun delivering pizza, believe it or not.
I'm sure you have a favorite delivery story.
Do you want a good or a bad one?
Let's keep it clean. It's a family show.
Oh, okay. Okay, a good one. So a lot of times, you know, when people order, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 pies or whatever, it's usually for a party. So, you know, you deliver the food, and most of the time the guys would want you to party with them, you know? And, you know, I think I've been to the most parties around town compared to anybody else. I mean...
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, your pizza delivery man is a party animal. All right?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I can imagine. I mean,
it gets really, really wild and awesome on New Year's, because all rules, you know, are out the door. And that's the most epic delivery day of the year, New Year's. Oh yeah. And I mean, you know, most folks in most industries they'd rather not work that day. But believe it or not, you know, if you're listening out there and you're an amateur, any kind of delivery man, any food delivery man, stick around till the New Year's, because you're going to get some good tips, but boy, you're going to have a lot of fun.
I can imagine. Walk
us through a New Year's.
Hey, guys, is this show over in 5 minutes?
Repeat that, I'm sorry.
Is the show over in like 5 minutes?
No, we got plenty of time.
All right, because there's a special guest calling me. His name is Ari the Rugged Man. He'd like to
Yes, R.A. the Rugged Man. We were supposed to have him last week, but he's...
You guys spoke it up for a minute, and let me see if I can arrange that. All right,
not a problem. R.A. the Rugged Man. He's another special guest that we're going to be putting on board, which is going to be awesome. He's got an amazing resume. But getting back to the pizza guy. I'm sure you've seen a lot of action in your day with delivering all those.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, people love Domino's. Young women they go crazy for Domino's. I don't know what it is, but they will do anything to get inside and just even stand next to you while you make the. I mean, I have women get topless. I have women.
Wow.
It gets hot in that kitchen sometimes.
Oh wow! I'm sure it does.
Woo.
So walk us through one of those stories,
Walk us through that. What happens in Domino's when you're making the pizzas and the women are coming in to and remember try to let's keep it clean. We don't want to I don't want the FCC
no coming. Gotcha, guys.
No profanity, but just give me the highlights and see how, because it sounds like a lot of fun over there.
When I had my guys working for me, I'd keep the rules pretty basic, keep everything clean, keep the language clean in front of the customers. But you should just be able to, connect on a personal level as much as you can, because that's what people are going to remember, and that's what's going to want them to, to come back. You give them good service, you have fun with them, they have fun with you, and we keep the day going, and the day goes by fast. So, most of the time, I had my customer service representatives. Those are the people that take phone calls. They take orders, they put in the orders into the system, and they're up front dealing with the customers all day. I would let my pizza man always talk to the customers. That's a given, you gotta have a pizza man with a personality. Pizza man with a personality, that's the way to go, what I mean? One time, I used to commute from Jersey to Pennsylvania, east of Latrobe, Pennsylvania, and I parked my car, and I'm walking towards the store, and some guy is yelling, screaming something at a distance. I don't know who's he screaming at, what's he screaming. And I just keep walking towards the store, and this guy runs up to me. He says, "You almost ran me off the road." And he's saying a bunch of nonsense. And I'm looking at him, and I'm like, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. I don't know what he's talking about. So, the guy takes out an FBI badge. He says, "I'm an FBI agent. This, that, and the third." I walk in the store, and he starts screaming in the store. He says, "Where's the boss? This, that, and the third." And my partner came out, and my partner is a big guy, real big guy, He was about 6'8". He was a, stocky dude. And he told the guy, "Come back here. Come talk to me back here." And the guy is saying, he's pointing at me saying that, I almost ran somebody over coming into the parking lot, and all of the customer service representatives, the big window in the front, they see everything. They're looking at him. They're like, "What's wrong with this guy? Is he nuts or something?" So there was another customer in the lobby, and he says, "This guy is out of his jurisdiction." He says, "This guy, if he's a FBI agent, he he can't you know, he can't take the badge out for something, you know, he has to call the local authorities. So when the guy said that, I looked at the guy, I was mad as hell, you know, this was embarrassing. And I looked at the guy, man, I was ready to take his head off his shoulders, you know, and I went after him, and he got scared. He turned around and he took off. He took off. He got in his car and he ran away. And I mean, you know,
wow.
you get crazy things happening. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, you deal with, you know, regular folks on a daily basis, and it's a lot
and then
of real
once
life.
Well, you get a wacko, sure.
Young
Diamond,
incredible. Everybody out there in Radio Land, you're listening to the Larry Lott Show with special guest hosts D. White Rapper and Sam Lippin.
Welcome back. And of course, the phone number to call in is 347-637-1843. However,
any moment now, you should be getting a call from a 516 number, and that should be our guest for the evening, R.A. the Rugged Man.
R.A. the Rugged Man.
World-renowned
okay,
MC and rapper, producer. He makes movies. He's done just about everything.
Okay, so when he comes on, of course, we're not going to be taking any other calls. We're not going to be taking any other calls. He's on unless he's okay with it. But
yeah,
want to more about learn more about him and what makes him tick and some success secrets that he might have to share with our audience.
Well, for sure. And Young Diamond, we appreciate you coming on and talking
about your
pizza and your pizza making. And you're welcome to call in anytime. And we'd love to hear more of your epic stories from the road, from delivering pizza, making pizza, managing pizza stores,
and also thanks for having me, guys. You guys are real awesome dudes, and you know, I just want to give a shout out to all my friends. This amazing show that Sam Lippin got going on right now called Live from the Streets. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Mr. Green, FH Crew. And all my mama,
yeah,
and you know, everybody all around the world out there.
Speaking of baby's mama, Young Diamond, do you call your son Cole?
What's up, guys?
I was gonna say, would you name your firstborn Cole? Because
Young Diamond. I get it. Young Diamond.
Diamond Cole. Very good. Very good, White Rapper. Once we go do a video, would you be up to doing a cooking segment?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to.
He's an excellent cook. Excellent cook.
As long as we have some women dancing in the background and not artificial women.
None of the blow-up dolls. Okay.
That's a must. A must.
That's a must.
Robot.
Okay. Sounds good by me. That is amazing. So, I'll tell you, so many things are going on. I mean, I keep hearing so many different things about the election, and the election this and election that, and we don't even have a decent candidate running for president.
I mean, right now, do we really care of who's going to be elected? It's going to be one of the two evils. No matter what happens, let's let the rest of the world figure that out. Right now, we're going to listen to somebody's positive, inspirational story of how they took a simple beat machine and a little two-track and turned it into a lifelong career where he makes sustainable living. He's providing for his family. He's touring the world. And that would be R.A. the Rugged Man with his producer, Mr. Green, who also produces with Sam Lippin the show Live from the Streets. I believe we should be getting a phone call right about now from Mr. Green, who we'll have on the air, and then Mr. R.A. the Rugged Man will join us shortly after.
All right. right. And again, just so you know, the phone number is 347-637-1843. So
and also let them know how they can join the chat room, Larry.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. I have to redo the chat room here. I'm opening up a chat room right now in a special window. So again, you can go on to
ASL.
Chat room. Okay, launch chat here. There we go. And
ASL?
I think it's ASL.
ASL, want a cyber?
I thought it was SOL.
SOL.
Or
okay,
SOS.
Well, no.
Or STD, well, or FTP. Or PPP.
HTTP.
Well, actually, if you're trying to reach the number, it's 555555555555555.
That would be an interesting number.
Go ahead, Larry. One more time. Give him the phone number to give us a call here.
Okay.
A Live with Larry show with special guest host, D. Wyatt Rapper and Sam Lippman from Live from the Street.
And from Live from the Street, Sam Lippman. And right now we have... And the phone number to reach us here is 347-637-1843.
Are there any calls coming through?
And the only calls right now I see are, I got myself and the three of you. I see the Young Diamonds still on with us.
I see.
Young Diamonds?
Hey.
Hey, fine by me. I mean, it's good. I mean, right now, the more the merrier, so to speak. It never ceases to amaze me how many people are able to overcome all kinds of obstacles. I can't wait for the special guest to come on and tell us his story. I mean, it's just I always marvel at people who are able to do the kind, to overcome all kinds of obstacles and create create their own lives and their own destinies.
Yeah, totally, 100%. And
then again, everything is in our hands anyway. We're always blaming somebody else for the stuff that goes wrong, and yet we're always willing to take all kinds of credit when it goes right.
That's true.
You are the common denominator, people. So own your mistakes as well as your successes, because I mean I was just talking about something earlier where I have the Darren Daly. Where he was talking about two basketball legends. I don't know if you heard me speaking about that earlier. Magic Johnson and
no.
Larry Bird. No?
Well, no, I don't think so.
Back in the 80s, these two basketball legends were amazing. They were fiercely competitive against one another. They were always... They were competing schools in the NCAA, and then when they both were drafted into the NBA, they were on teams that were constantly competing against one another. And what happened and that fierce competition between them. Today is Monday, and. And I'm also a caregiver for an elderly parent. But I'm going to now. But I'll get into my Magic Johnson and Larry Bird story later. Right now, I'm going to bring on the 508, which I believe is going to be our special guest, if I'm not mistaken. And you are on Live with Larry.
All right. Hey, what's up, Larry? How you doing?
I'm doing great. Who am I speaking with?
This is Aaron, Mr. Green.
Mr. Green, Mr. Green, I'm going to mute myself for just a brief moment. Bear with me.
Okay.
I'm going to brief. I'm glad you're there, by the way. Bear with me.
All right.
Yo, what's up, Mr. Green?
Yo, what up, Greeno?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Chilling like a villain on penicillin.
Yeah,
chilling.
Yep. Relax, relaxing.
Yo, I hear noise. Like, hey, how you doing?
Sam is absolutely out of form right now, eating chicken.
Yeah, I hear owls or something. Like, I actually hear owls.
Yeah, that's part of the ambiance of the Live with Larry show. So, Mr. Green, tell us recently what transpired out in Chicago when you went out there to film for Live from the Streets.
Oh, it was pretty awesome. Yes. We didn't sleep much. We were just kind of got there and immediately start filming and searching around. And we start early in the day. We go till late at night. And we were all over the city. We went to the deep south side of Chicago. And we were in the west. And we were downtown and up in Lakeview by the Wrigley Field. So it was pretty crazy, but it was good.
And exactly what were you filming that for?
Live from the Streets.
Live from the Streets, which is a
all day
show that has been seen on a bunch of different media outlets, one being Vice's Noisy Channel, another being the MTV Jams, as well as other different venues, obviously the YouTube. And Mr. Green and Sam Littman actually produce the show. They create beats with sounds they take off the streets, and then they have accomplished MCs come in and rhyme over the tracks, and they actually come out fantastic. And anybody who's seen the show knows that it is kind of an anomaly within itself, how the show keeps getting better and better and better. It's just amazing.
I appreciate that, White Rapper. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
That is an amazing feat, White Rapper. And Mr. Green, I'm noticing that you're in the 508 area code. That's Massachusetts, I believe, right?
Yeah, I've been living. I'm from Jersey, and I've lived in New Jersey, Philadelphia, New York. But the first place I lived out of state was Massachusetts, and I still have the cell phone number for Massachusetts. So, I was living in Worcester, Massachusetts, to go to college, and I don't know. I like Massachusetts. I hardly ever get to go back there, but it's kind of a cool state. People don't talk about it that much, but it's a pretty cool place.
I actually like Worcestershire sauce on my steak.
Worcestershire sauce.
And now, Mr. Green, I understand you're just about to leave America to go on a 8th tour of Europe?
What did you say, 8th tour?
Oh, is it more than that?
I just didn't hear what you said. It's like 8 shows. I've got 8 shows in Europe. 4 of them are with Afro and R.A. the Rugged Man. And then I got another 4 that are solo. And it's going to be fun. It's my 3rd time going to Europe this year. So I'm pretty lucky I get to travel this much.
Give us a basic breakdown of the different countries that you go to while you're out there.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I know. Germany. You go to
France, Austria, Germany, Russia, Belgium, Norway, Sweden, Switzerland, Iceland, Spain. I haven't got to go to Italy yet. Poland, Czech Republic. We go all over the place.
That is just amazing. And what would you say, what country have you had the best response to hip-hop?
Spain. Spain was a really good response. Iceland was crazy. Poland, Switzerland. It's hard. I mean, it's hard to...
Wait till you get to Russia, Green.
Oh, what's up, Young Diamond? Slava, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How you been?
Hey, not bad. Yeah, I'm going to Russia on the 27th. 29th.
Oh,
wow.
That's
crazy.
How's that?
Where in Russia?
Far Russia.
Moscow?
to Moscow for just one day.
You know,
so the record that you're coming out with next would be with, I believe it was going to be released while you're on tour, or is that is it a record release?
I have not announced my next record yet. I've got another Live from the Streets album that I'm working on, but that's kind of slowly but surely. And then I've got a couple surprise albums. I just put one out called Live from Parkside a couple weeks ago. It was a reggae album.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, Mr. Green, working with the Live from the Streets, and it's taken you all around the world, what would you say was the most positive feedback that you've gotten, not only just from the fans, but just for your interpersonal?
Well, people tell us, but one thing that we hear, you know, it's me and Sam for the most part. A lot of people work with us, but Sam and I are the ones who are out there, like, you know, day to day filming, and we started together. We hear a lot of, this really inspired me to do something. And people say, it made me want to make music. It made me want to take my painting more seriously. It made me want to start this. It made me want to start that. And I think that's, you know, money is one thing. Money is awesome. But if you can actually make art that makes people want to do something, I think you're helping people more than, you know, just trying to make money for yourself. So that's
all
cool.
They say as long as you're doing something. I'm sorry, Mr. They say as long as you're doing something you're passionate about and that's your job, then you're never really working a day in your life.
Yeah, you can say that. I mean, some days are bad, though. Some days definitely feel like work. But then some
days
are also a lot of fun.
Yeah, we work really hard, and we do long days. You know, we're in Chicago. We don't stop, but we definitely have fun with it. Like, our work ethic is we work really hard, and we have a good time.
Would you find that your end result is rewarding?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It's super rewarding.
Yeah, definitely. When you see people writing, you know, lots of comments, oh, this is amazing, thank you so much for keeping this going, blah, blah, blah. You know, we get a lot of those. And then when you see the views go up to a couple hundred thousand and people are paying you to travel and, you know, almost pay all your bills. It doesn't quite pay all of our bills yet, but it's getting, like, closer. So, it's very, very rewarding.
I can imagine.
Got work to do, though.
I bet if you moved your phone number back to Brooklyn, you might save a few bucks.
No, it's the same. It's the same price no matter where you have your area code.
So, have you heard of Project Greenlight?
No, I don't think so. I've heard of Project X with Matthew Broderick, where they're doing experiments on monkeys. And he's just like a janitor. He doesn't really know what he's getting into, but he falls in love, or not, you know, sexual love, but like really good friend love with one of the monkeys. And then he's like, no, I can't be working at this monkey experiment place anymore. And then he frees the monkeys. It's a really, really, really good 80s movie. So now I've never seen Project Greenlight.
And
Project
I think he,
a good one.
I think he actually goes to rescue the monkey at the end.
Yeah, he flees monkeys. It's a movie about Matthew Broderick. I think it was a little bit after Ferris Bueller's Day Off. You know, they wanted to put him in a serious role. So they were like, you, Broderick, we're going to have you free the monkeys. And,
I think that was shortly after he killed a mother and daughter as he was drunk driving in Ireland.
Might have been like after the drunk driving thing. They're like, yo, we need to fix your image. We're going to have you do a movie freeing monkeys, and then this should overshadow the murder.
It seemed like it
worked. Yeah, well, you know, when I think of Matthew Broderick, I think of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I think of Project X. You know, I think of a couple things, but I don't really think of murder. So, yeah, I guess it worked.
Yeah.
Oh, that's how the spin doctors of these PR agencies, public relations, can change your image.
Oh, yeah.
They did it for the girl who ran over the people at the club in the Hamptons, you know. What was her name again?
Yeah.
What was her name?
You know what PR really stands for?
Puerto Rico?
Oh,
no.
Puerto Rico. Piss rain. Like, you know when people say, don't piss on my head and tell me it's rain.
Ah.
That's what PR is. It's like they piss on your head and they tell you it's rain, but they're really good at telling you it's rain if you just believe it.
So,
exactly.
So Mr. Green, you know, we've been friends and worked together for a long time, and you know, you are quite an accomplished musician, and everybody knows it's even harder these days to be a musician and you know, and do that as your sole job. Like, for people out there that want to go and into the creative field, whether it's like music or art of some sort, like, what kind of advice do you have for them? This show is Unleash Your Powerful Self. What advice do you have for people that want to embark on that journey
that you're doing?
I'd say, just try music or any art. You don't think about money while you're making it. Just try to make something that you're really going to like, that you think people are really going to like. And then if you pull that off, and people really say, hey, you know, I really like that, I really like that, I really like that, you know, if you get a lot of people saying that, money tends to come. But if you follow, you know, if you look at on TV and say, oh, those artists, those guys are making a lot of money, I need to make something that sounds just like what they're doing, I think you're less likely to actually obtain the money than if you try to, you know, do something.
If you're more sincere about the love of the art, not just the love of the money.
Exactly. Yeah, I think if you think about money, you're just gonna see a copycat of everyone else that's making money. And if you just think about what can I do that's really good, what can I make that people are gonna say, wow, you know what, that's some good shit right there. I think you got a better chance. Even then, you might not make it, but at least you'll have done it from the heart. And a lot of people just, oh, what's on MTV? What's on Hot 97? I'll do exactly that. I'll just and. The world does not need any more of that. There are already tons of people doing the norm. I think the world needs some people to think outside the box a little bit. So that would be my advice.
Yeah, totally, yeah. Man. That's great advice.
You know, that reminds me of a show that of a movie.
Called Jersey Girl.
Not Jersey Girl. That was a good movie too. I was thinking more along the lines of. Show Me the Money,
Jerry Maguire,
that's right, where Jerry Maguire lost his job because he created this manifesto. He let his conscience override his reason.
Mm-hmm.
and he lost all of his own clients, went, you know, stayed with the firm that he was with, except one guy, and he was concentrating more on the money instead of the love of the game of football.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Maguire said, listen, you lost your edge because you're doing it for the money and not for the love of the game. When you were in your heyday, you were doing it for the love of the game. And when he did it for the love of the game, the team signed him on for the multi-million dollar contract that he was hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
Which kind of piggybacks on what you were saying, that you're absolutely right, that if you do it for the money, you're a loser. But if you do it for the love of the love of the art or the passion that you have for doing whatever service you're doing, then
mm-hmm.
The money will come, but don't make the money a priority. Otherwise, the karma, the universe, whatever it is going to realize that, and it's going to cause you to do nothing but fail.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, if you think about it, the universe has been around far longer than money has, and like the desire to achieve, the desire to do something great has been around. It's been inside of people probably before money has. So it's more of a natural thing to chase after money. It's like you chase after something that's kind of more recent and created. But to chase after whatever, greatness or just, you know, making people happy, then that has been around forever.
It has.
Yeah.
And we can't lose sight of that. Unfortunately, too many of us do lose sight of the big picture.
Larry, you brought up Jerry Maguire as a movie that just, maybe it did inspire you, but it's just a movie that you think about when you think about whatever desire to be great. What are some other inspirational movies that you can think of?
Well, there's a few of them. There's certainly the Rocky series.
That's a great one.
All right. Awesome. And any of the Rocky series, and you've got a couple of people calling in. I'll get to them in a second. Don't worry, you guys. I got a 631 and a 718. And what I like is the fact that there's, aside from Jerry Maguire, I guess another one would be Officer and a Gentleman. Some would say it's a chick flick, but Richard Gere's character basically was like down and out, and went and decided to go to OCS, and he went from being a hustler and going to take advantage of people to really caring and really moving up the ranks, and forget about the chick part of it. Just the idea that he built himself up, even when the sergeant was saying, you're no good, and he proved him wrong.
Hey, pick up the line. I'm getting a beeper message from Sean. Pick up the line.
Okay.
Yeah, pick up 631.
And
hello?
You are on Live with Larry.
Yeah, hello? Hey.
Hey. Yeah.
How's it going?
Good. Is this all right, Rugged Man?
Yeah, how are you?
All right. I've been waiting for you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is R.A. Rugged Man. And just to give a little more of a white rapper, why don't you give us a little bit of his resume once again?
My resume is I've been in the game, the music industry, for a lot of years, a few decades, and I'm in the back seat of a car with my daughter, who's 7 months old, that doesn't like to be in car seats.
Congratulations.
Hit me up like, you got to do the show now. You told me to call in, but I'm like, I'm with my family. And he's like, you got to call in. All right, I got you. So you might hear a little crying in the background.
Larry, are you getting another call? Because I think Sean's trying to call in right now.
That's Sean on the other end. Yeah, hold on 1 second.
All right.
Okay, White Rapper, you there?
The White Rapper is here. Hello. Thank you very much, Ari the Rugged Man, for joining the Live with Larry show.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, okay.
The show really is what we talk about. I'm here, though. You let me know, I'll talk about whatever you
All right. Well, what's the most exciting, inspirational thing, aside from the birth of your daughter, that you had, well, that really stands out for you?
What, in the music industry?
Yeah. It could be in the music industry, it could be anything. But let's go into the music industry, since that's your special.
Oh, it took me a lot of years. Gotten a lot of trouble in the game, and, you know, been poor. When I finally started seeing that on a bigger scale without doing it with the major labels, that was a big success for me. Do you guys want me to call you in 5 minutes? Because we'll be out of the car in 5 minutes. Or you want me to stay
right
on it? It doesn't matter, whatever.
You could stay on, all right. It's fine.
Whatever's comfortable for you, all right. I mean, I.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's a radio show, so all you hear is a baby crying in the background. I don't know what the listeners are going to think, you know?
The listeners are going to think it's amazing that Ari the Rugged Man is now a new father. That's what they're going to think.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean,
the world has known Ari the Rugged Man as this wild, crazy, do anything and everything on stage, jump around, smack people in the front row, throw wheelchairs out into the crowd. Ra is an amazing performer. You've never seen anything like it. The energy that he brings to the stage just makes everybody in the crowd feel like they're as high as a kite.
Yeah.
Wow.
When Mr. Green, when Mr. Green and Ra go on tour, from what I understand, they make crowds just leave there drenched in sweat, thanking them for coming. They put on such an awesome show live that you really must come see it live.
Sean, this is the weirdest.
Hey, well, the baby's screaming. It's kind of throwing us
off.
Let
me call you back. Let me call you back.
Call us back. Call us back in 5 minutes. That would be great, Ra.
Sean, this is the weirdest ever. All right. Thank you very much. I don't know who Sean is, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm better known as the White Rapper. And you're on the phone with Live with Larry. I'm Sean the White Rapper. No, I'm not.
This
I'm
is
the
Sam
White Rapper.
Sam Litman Stern.
Sam Litman Stern. And also
and
Mr. Green is on the phone.
And Mr. Green. We got a
And
not
now we have
speaking.
Birds. We have the birds on the phone. This is the movie The Birds.
Oh, Alfred Hitchcock would have loved this show. That is absolutely amazing. We got so much going on. It's fun. We got a fun group.
Hysterical.
All the way.
I can't believe we had the guy who makes pizza for Domino's on the phone, though. That was amazing.
I'm still here, guys.
He's still there.
And you've been in some music videos, too. Slava, tell us about some of the highlights of your career. I mean, you've been in music videos for Page One, Mr. Green. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the last video that I was in, it was actually a big surprise because I was the cameraman. And then it was a Page One music video for the album called The Shady Core, and the name of the song is Don't Stop. So, you know, I'm behind the camera doing my thing, and then you know, Bass just waves to me and says, and you can see it in the video, he says, come over here. And I look at him, I said, what? Hey, come on. So I came over, and, you know, I ended up being in the whole music video. And that's the last one we shot a few months ago. Came out really good. I encourage everyone to check it out. It's on YouTube. The first video that I was ever in, I'm actually in my Domino's uniform, Domino's Pizza uniform. And since it's a family show, I don't want to say the full name of the song, but it's Page One Liquor. You can look it up on YouTube. It's called Page One Liquor. Amazing video. Got a bunch of outsiders in there. Got Green in there. Got a bunch of our friends at a party hanging out. We're all in there having a blast. It took us, what, like 2 days to shoot the video? Just the experience in itself was a party. It was something really, really cool. And it didn't feel intense. It didn't feel, you know, edgy. And It was natural. It was organic. It came out amazing. Everybody had a ton of fun. Obviously, people loved it. Got a bunch of views on YouTube. And that was the first one that I was in. And there's definitely 3 or 4 more that I'm in also. And I had the pleasure of being in. And the guys
awesome.
Are always. Yeah, man, and you think of video shoots as these dreadful, moments where somebody's going, no, you're not doing it this way, you know, and it's absolutely nothing like that. It's Sam's an unbelievable video man, and he's just, you know, he doesn't scream, he doesn't yell, he doesn't make you feel uncomfortable. And he just makes the experience in itself feel so pleasant and amazing at the same time.
you know, fun and memorable. You know what I mean? And it's unique because a lot of people, you know, are not like that. You know, they like to be the boss. You know what I mean? Sam,
I know
become,
exactly
you know,
what you mean. I dealt with Sam on. I was working with Sam on a project as well, the documentary on the kind of work we were doing years ago.
And which is coming out 2016, end of 2016, finally, the feature.
Oh, really?
All right,
nice.
Yeah, now I want to say, I know, Larry, I told you a little bit about Young Diamond, but I didn't tell you everything. Pretty much, like, and this goes along with Mr. Green, too, we're actually all from Highland Park, New Jersey. We all grew up together, and we were, you know, we were kids that, as teenagers, we were just kind of into stuff that a lot of other kids weren't. So we were into, like, graffiti art and, like, hip-hop, like, underground hip-hop. And, like, we used to go on adventures. Like, we'd bike all over New Jersey. And
we had a huge breakdancing crew. Huge breakdancing crew in high school.
Oh,
so
I
like,
love
really?
Seeing this, the Green Breakdance.
Oh. So there's, like 50 of us.
We were really into art.
Yeah.
We were really into art, and that
we had graffiti inside the high school walls. Now tell me, have you ever seen a high
true.
School with
off the record? No, I'm just kidding. But that pretty much now we've
legal graffiti.
It was totally legal. So we've transitioned into turning what was once, you know, just DIY for fun into careers, you know, so, and that's one of the reasons, and our style is very DIY, just like having a good time. Just like, you know, when I was 13 years old, I'd have a camcorder and I'd film me and my friends having fun. And now, you know, I'm 29 years old and doing the same thing, so with a more professional camera. So like our style hasn't changed, and like our influences were, you know, just from like DIY, just do it yourself filmmaking, you know.
Hey, it must have worked because here you are doing it, like you said, doing it professionally. You were doing it DIY, and now you've got. You went to school for that after a while.
Yeah, pretty much. I started out when I was like, me and you used to work together at the call center. And we would film sometimes, bring in and actually, Young Diamond also worked there at one point, and we used to bring in the cameras and just have fun, and then that kind of transitioned into making underground rap videos. And then I went to college for film, and now I've been doing more documentary style stuff. But it all started with just all of us just having fun, man. Just picking up a camcorder.
That's what it's all about.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's all about.
I mean, you got to have fun. You got to enjoy what you're doing. Otherwise, why do it?
And the thing is, you can't stop. You got to keep it going. You know what I mean? Even when you get up to the next level and the level after that, you know, I mean, it's understood that, you know, you get to a point where things have gotten very serious. But still, you know, you don't want to eliminate that aspect out of, you know, creating this art.
Absolutely. I see a 631 area code calling in.
All right, let's clear the lines and let's speak to R.A. the Rugged Man.
R.A. the Rugged Man.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, so we got the baby in the street now.
All right, awesome. Live from the streets with the baby, R.A.'s baby Ella. Awesome.
Oh, that's
yeah,
wonderful.
How you doing?
We're doing good,
we're
bro.
Doing great.
Basically, I've been telling everybody in the audience that we were going to get you last week. You were a little tied up in the studio, and we kind of ran a little late on the show.
Yeah, you always call me last notice and be like, hey, do the show, and it's the worst time, like tonight. But it's all good. I'm here.
Yeah, I'm glad you are, R.A.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I heard you talking about boxing movies or sports movies. Or what's the subject?
That's exactly what we were going to talk about, was some boxing movies. Tell us some of your favorite boxing movies.
No, I heard you talking, you said the Rocky movies and Jerry Maguire and all that shit. Wasn't that what you were talking about?
We're talking about what makes you feel empowered. What what movies gave you an influence? And I was mentioning Jerry Maguire, Officer and a Gentleman, and of course the Rocky movies. But like I say, it doesn't really matter which movie it is or whatever it is. What's the biggest thing that has a powerful influence on you?
A movie, you said, or just life? What are you talking about?
What would you feel was the most inspirational boxer's career that you followed?
Well, I thought you were saying life. Now you're saying boxers' careers? I'm confused, man. I said, picking up my career and doing good for myself without relying on anybody else. That felt real good. And then boxing, inspirational boxers. You know, I liked watching Bernard Hopkins when he went against the odds and beat everybody he wasn't supposed to beat, you know, not just fighting the guys he was supposed to beat, but beating the guys and fighting the guys he was supposed to lose to, and, you know, being a 3-1 underdog, 4-1 underdog, and beating all of those guys he wasn't supposed to fight. That's the best boxer that made me feel good watching him win, you know?
So through your career, you've translated that over to different aspects and have been able to use those positive moments in your life to reflect back on, well, if Hopkins can do it, I can do it. How many times have you felt that you were down and out of this hip-hop game and you've come back?
I don't know. I always just felt like I could do anything because, you know, who the fuck are these other people? You know, if they could do it, I could do it. You know, like, you know, who are these other rappers? Who are these other musicians? Who are these other filmmakers? Like, I feel like in life, if you want to do something, you just do it. You know, whoever you are, if you know you could do it, you could do it, you know? So,
you have any plans on making another movie? Ari, years ago, made a B-horror
flick. No, that wasn't my movie. I didn't direct it or nothing. I plan on in the future to direct some films, but I need to concentrate on my film career, my music career right now, because that's where, you know, I'm making all my money and making my whole career. So I gotta to produce and write and direct the film, you know, you gotta take 2 years out of your life, and I don't have 2 years right now to concentrate on strictly. Hey, can you take her up and I'll finish this interview? Is that cool? I'll take that up later.
Not a problem.
How many years have you been fighting in this hip-hop game?
Oh, I started rhyming in the 80s, you know, and then I got my first deal in 92.
Right.
Yeah.
And that with that first record deal, did you feel that this was it? This was going to make your mark in hip-hop, and that was going to be the forever, how everybody would remember Ari the Rugged Man?
I don't know. I was a kid. I was, you know, getting record deals, 16, 17, 18 years old, and I had, you know, 9 record deals. You know, it was all trying to sign me all at the same time, and you go, you know, all right, I'm one of the best, so I'm going to, you know, everything's going to work out. You didn't know that there was business behind stuff. You just thought, oh, if your craft is great, the world will understand that. You know, nah, it's like there's a lot of business and a lot of snakes and a lot of things you have to do and a lot of you know, compromise that they want you to make with the labels that you're not going to try to do, you know? So
nowadays you don't rely on any major labels. You've come out with Thorburn Records, and we believe one of the artists that's taken off is Afro. Tell us a little bit about your artist.
Oh, Afro is a young phenomenon. You know, he's a ferocious, ferocious MC, a great MC, great rapper, great performer. And everybody, you know, that sees him, they all want to work with him and be around him. And, he's got a new TV show coming out on VH1 and, you know, doing a lot of mainstream stuff like Jimmy Fallon and Queen Latifah. And, you know, he's just this phenomenal rapper, you know. The main thing with Afro is music. I got to get his music made, you know. He's making songs, but we got to make some incredible music. We got to make incredible songs and make something really special because he's a special artist. He can't come out with something just mediocre. It got to be special, you know? So.
Is there anyone out there that you think that you need to be working with aside from who you've worked with already that would bring you to that level?
Well, he's a different artist than me. Me, I take a long time to make my music because I do it all myself. I get the beats from other people, then I sit in the studio and I get violinists and bassists and DJs and people of, you know, vocalists and from opera singers to soul singers. Like, I produce all, like, I put all my own songs together and make them songs. I think of the concepts and all this stuff. And, you know, Afro's a young kid. He's 18 years old. So, you know, it's time, you know, he's going to start doing that kind of stuff for himself, where he's going to go in there, conceptualize the records, and start, you know, putting out some, you know, songs that he'll be, you know, willing and wanting to perform in 10, 20 years down the line, hopefully. Because the songs that I made when I was 18 years old, it's a million years later, you know, two, three decades later, and I'm sitting there performing them on stage still, you know. So, and along with the new songs, and I want Afro to do that too, and hopefully even bigger, where, like, you know, we will have a major push behind one of his incredible records and get it, you know, get it really out there, where he could tour off for that song for years and years to come, you know.
Now,
that would
if you
be
were
great.
If you were to say one
well,
thing,
all of my friends that still tour today that I knew back then, because they had a couple great records and they had a good push behind it. You know, Afro has the audience waiting to hear him. He has everything. Everybody's waiting for him. Now we just need to make some great music. You know, and then, you know, it's out of here. You know.
Wow. Now, over the years of making music and being let go from major labels or turning down major deals, what would you say inspired you, you know, truly deep down inside that kept you going to keep fighting for your spot in this hip-hop game?
Well, it wasn't really fighting. It's like when I was a kid, I was 11, 12 years old. I started rapping, and I ended up being better than so many people. Naturally, it was a weird gift, like, anywhere I went, I was better than everybody at rapping. I don't know how it happened. Like, you know, the kids that were older than me in the neighborhood, and I just was better at it for some reason. It was like some weird gift that I had. So, like, it was never a fight. I just kept doing it. And, no, you know, what it was is after all the deals got all crazy and they were blackballing me, when I understood that, no, this is what you're good at. They don't, they, you know, just because you're fighting with a corporation doesn't mean that you can't still keep doing what you love and what you're good at. Fuck all the politics in the game. Just keep doing it. And then what happened is the fans, if you're authentic in what you do, the fans keep coming and coming and coming. And we didn't have say back in the day, like a Snoop Dogg would drop a record. They'd, you know, have $5-6 million push and big, you know, big videos and big campaigns, billboard covers and, you know, ads and all the magazines. And, you know, I never had that. So what happens is when I would drop something, you know, it would take 2, 3, 4 years of touring to get all the fans built up to love those records. And then, you know, 10, 20 years later, they still would love those records because we built them, you know, organically on just being in their faces and being all over the world and performing those songs. And they became classic to a lot of people. So, you know, it wasn't really like a fight. Like, I got a fight. It was more like, I just kept the main fight is to make sure that your skill level is still up to par, where, you know, because a lot of dudes I knew in the 90s who had gold and platinum records, their skill levels never improved from the 90s, you know. So, like, their music, their new music isn't relevant anymore. So when they tour, they're only doing their songs from 20 years ago. When I tour, my set's crazy because it's like, some people of 15, 16-year-old kids only know the shit that I made last year and 2 years ago, you know? So they're coming to my show to hear all this brand-new shit. And then, like, the older heads, 30, 40 years old, they only know the records I did in 92 and 94 and 97, you know? Like, and they're there for that stuff. So, like, it's like I've got 25 years of music. So, like, people are like, which one, you know, you got to kind of look at the crowd and feel them out. And know, okay, you know what? This crowd is kind of like the stuff I did 2005 era. This crowd is kind of the stuff I was doing in the 90s. This crowd is kind of like the stuff I dropped last year. So, you know, right. You give a little blend of all of it combined. But right. You got to know what, you know, I have so much of it, you don't want to not do
the stuff that a lot of the crowd is there for, so you feel it out as you go during the show, you know?
So yeah, you feel it out. You got to know your audience.
And like yeah, you said, you're already working on a second generation of fans. So the first generation of fans are ecstatic to see you, and the new generation is just blown away.
Now, let me tell you, it's the third generation. Let me tell you why, because, like, there was the first generation was like 92, 93. I had like every record label Sucks Dick and the Biggie joints and Bloody Axe and Rubber Room and all that stuff. And a lot of heads only knew that stuff. And then like 5 years after that, there was Raucous Records. And it was like a lot of people just learned about me through Raucous Records because that was like Talib Kweli and Mos Def and Eminem and Pharrell Monch all on the same records I was on. So then that generation, they think they're old school. Like, hey, yo, I know your stuff from Raucous. I'm like, yo, that was like when I was already in the game for fucking half a decade, you know? Hey, right. I was already rapping for over a decade at that time. But then it came the 2000s and I dropped, you know, the Die Rugged Man Die album. And then the 2000s, I put out the song Uncommon Valor with Jedi Mind Tricks, and it got like the rhyme of the decade and considered the rhyme of the year and all the, you know, most credible source, you know, source magazines and hip hop DXs and all of this. And it's considered one of the best rhymes ever in history. So some people just discovered me in 2005. So it's like, you got the fans from the early 90s, the fans from the late 90s, the fans from the mid-2000s. And then when I dropped Legends Never Die in the 2010s, I got the fans that just heard of me through all of that stuff. So it's like literally like, you know, 90s, 2000s, and 2010s of fans. You know, it's crazy, you know.
Third generation of fans is on the way. And what would you say?
Wait till I drop the next record. The next album I'm working on is the best work to date because I won't put it out unless it obliterates everything I ever made in my past. And that's how I approached my last record. That's how young fans keep coming back because they're like, damn, whoever this guy is, if they never heard of me, they're like, whoever this guy is, this is great shit. If I was doing some shit that sounded like 15 years ago, the new kids wouldn't even give a shit, you know?
Can you give us a little preview who might be going on the next album?
Oh, I'm trying to get everybody, you know. I'm going to have a lot of solo joints, but I'm going to make the record really long, like, so I could, you know, say I have 10 solo records. I want to have another 6 or 7 with, like, some legendary artists and legendary producers. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of legends on there. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to give any names yet. Nah, I want to keep it a secret. So when I drop that, it's going to be like, you know, like, I'll reveal all the names like 4 months before the record drops, you know, to like hype it up, you know, to get the buzz.
That's fair enough.
That would be good.
That's fair enough. And also, we spoke with Mr. Green earlier, and we were wondering when Mr. Green gets a better response here in America or overseas, what would you feel that the fans respond best?
Well, I don't know because I never toured with Mr. Green in America, so I brought Mr. Green, I think, on 2 tours in Europe with me. And
I'm saying from your perspective, where would you feel the fans receive you the most? Overseas, in America?
You know, it all depends who the promoter is for the show. You know,
right.
If I do like a very well promoted show in America, then my fans know it's there, then the fans come out and the energy's great. If I do a not well promoted show in America, then it's whack. And it's the same thing overseas, or Australia, or, you know, all over the world. It's like, but if you're overseas and the promoter's dope and they know, like, a lot of times in Europe when you get off the plane and then you're headed to your hotel, you look on the side of the street. So when you see your posters on the wall and your face is on the wall, you go, the promoter's on his job. My fans know that I'm in town. You know, it's going to be great tonight. And most of the time it is, you know. But a lot of times, like, when you go into some country and you're like, you don't hear nobody tweeting about it, nobody Facebooking about it. Like, you're like, nobody's talking about this event. You start thinking like, man, this small village that I'm at, nobody even knows that I'm here, you know? And sometimes you're right. Sometimes you get a feel right before. But most of the time, if it's promoted properly, the energy my shows get, because I got a hardcore fan base. I don't have the fans like, say, like, you know, to pack stadiums like some of these big pop record stars, you know, like they pack stadiums and they got these fans. Well, my fans are like less fans, but they're very, very authentic, and they really have a ton of love and excitement and energy, you know?
I kind of feel like, even though R.A. the Rugged Man is a legend in the hip-hop game, I still feel like he's going to go that huge stadium-filling atmosphere coming soon. I feel it.
I perform in big festivals with, like, I'm on the top of the billing for festivals that are like, you know, 60,000, 30,000, 15,000, 20,000. I performed in front of tens and tens of thousands of people at the same time. It's not like I haven't done that. But, like, say last time I played London, there's this great little spot called Jazz Cafe. It's awesome. You know, it's like just this great vibe in London. And I just sold it out 3 times in a row. Every time I do London, I play the Jazz Cafe, I sell it out. And it's like great energy. So I went to the hotel after the show, and I'm like, yeah, that's the 3rd time we sold out the Jazz Cafe in a row. But it's a little spot compared, and in Public Enemy, Flavor Flav and Chuck D, they're all at the hotel. And I said, oh, shit, what are you guys doing in town? And they said, oh, all right, we just played Wembley Stadium. I said,
oh, wow.
I sold out the Jazz Cafe. Okay, all right. You motherfuckers played the Wembley Stadium tonight. So, you know, there's a big difference in the fan base.
I've been kind of hanging in the background, but it's Sam live from the streets. One of the things I've always really admired about you, you know, is that you speak your mind 100%, and you don't just speak your mind, but you do it in an intellectual way. You have anything you think or you say, you know, you back it up with intellectually. In a country that's like increasingly PC and kind of filled with sheep, you know, sheeple who just like believe everything they say, like, how did you get that mentality to just kind of like just be yourself no matter what?
Well, you know what, it was my father just kind of said whatever was in his mind, and I knew he made a lot of enemies when I was a kid, and he was in trouble a lot, and my father just was just a real dude. He just said what he said, you know. That's how he always was. And also, you know, I learned when I was a teenager, I saw it at a smaller scale, like in the record business, where like they program the public, they trick the public into liking certain artists, they trick the public into thinking certain films and movies are supposed to be good that week, even though it's a sham, you know. They trick people into liking things. So on a small scale like that, I started seeing that, like, yo, that's some gimmick shit. That's some manipulated bullshit right there. And then I realized as I got older, like, no, that's the whole world. That's not just these little rap records. That's like the world is like that. Like, they will lie to you about each, you know, who runs this, who rules that, you know, from politicians to leaders to government officials, you know, and it's like the whole world is run the same way these little rap music.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
Guys.
That's the beast, Sergeant Sepp Forber.
Yes. That is, I'll tell you something. We got about a minute to go here. I mean, I get lost just listening to you guys, especially. R.A. Rugged Man is, you know. I want you to give a shout out. What is the next show, or what's the best way to for any of my listeners that don't know who R.A. the Rugged Man is, to get a hold of some of your records or something.
I think you just Google it. You just Google it or look it up on a YouTube. I don't know what comes up first, but, like, I'm online. And you know, they got the Twitter, the @RAtheRuggedMan, and they got the Facebook, R.A. The Rugged Man Official, all that stuff. But, like, they could go to iTunes. They could go to the Internet, Google, and look at a couple videos. You know, the thing is, they usually play your latest videos first. But, like, I got a whole history of videos, like, you know, dozens of videos of you know, quality music, or just my last album I put out was Legends Never Die. If you want to go on iTunes and pick it up, it's it won't disappoint you, you know.
And thank you very much.
I want to thank R.A. the Rugged Man. I also want to thank our pizza guy, as well as my two regulars,
Mr. Green.
Mr. Green, of course. I want to thank Mr. Green for coming on, and R.A. the Rugged Man, as well as my regulars, Sam Lippman and the White Rapper. This is Larry with Live with Larry. I want to say to
rest
you guys,
peace, Staff Sergeant
Thorberg.
Yeah, excuse my daughter was falling asleep before in the car. So she was fussy.
That's okay.
I had
that's
to go.
Okay. You're a new dad.
And R.A.
is awesome.
Everybody loves babies.
Everybody loves babies.
All right, I'd love to hear more about your views of the world, because I think it's really important. And now that we have the internet, we can kind of like, it's not just what you see on TV, you know, and here on the radio, we all can kind of get our messages out there. It's important people hear like unique perspectives, like what you were talking about. So I'd love to hear more about that, either on here or your own podcast, or, you know, just, I really admire that, man. Keep up the good work on speaking
absolutely
your mind.
Absolutely. And Sam, shoot me a link to Rugged Man's podcast. I'd love to hear what he has to say. And,
all right, everybody, you're listening to Live with Larry with special guest host, the White Rapper, Sam Lippman.
And
tonight we had R.A. the Rugged Man, Mr. Green, and Young Diamond.
And I want to thank everybody for listening. And everybody, stay powerful. And enjoy and have
it's
a great
county
week.
Nobody get more rowdy than Suffolk County. Peace to
crack
and crowdy.
All right, peace. One.
Stay powerful.
Stay powerful.
Stay powerful.